I'd like you to turn with me this evening, if you will, please, to Psalm 122. That's Psalm 122. Let me read it to you. Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. You may wonder why I've read Psalm 122 tonight, but hopefully things will be clear as I proceed. And I want to finish my sermon this evening by quoting verse 1, but it's going to take me just a few moments before we get there. I want to introduce a new series on a Sunday evening. My hope is that we will be able to look at 2 Thessalonians at some point, having looked at the first epistle. I think we ought to go on and look at the second epistle together. But for a few weeks, and I don't know how many weeks it will be for, I want us to look at a number of what we might call Christian disciplines. The last sermon on 1 Thessalonians was all about sanctification. And I pointed out that God is the one who sanctifies his people. He works in the lives of his people to will and to do. And yet I also pointed out that we have a part to play. We must cooperate with God in this particular matter. We must yield to God. We must allow him to do the work that he wants to do within our lives. But we must also endeavour to walk with the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit. We have an active part to play. And if we want to become more and more holy, if we want to grow, if we want to mature, if we want to be increasingly conformed to the image of Christ, then clearly the Bible tells us we have a part to play. And we need to play our part in exercising certain Christian disciplines. And I want on a Sunday evening to talk about a number of Christian disciplines. And the first discipline that I want us to give thought to is the discipline of going to church. And I want to ask the question tonight, well, why go to church? I don't want us to think about how many times we should go to church in any given week. I don't think we could come to a decisive answer by looking at the scriptures. Nevertheless, I want us to look at the question, why should we go to church? And I ought to point out that I'm leaning very heavily on a book entitled Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church by a pastor named Donald Whiteney. Now, please don't go and buy the book tonight and read it before I've had a chance to address some of the things that are mentioned in the book. You can buy it after I've done this little series and read it through to your heart's content, and I'm sure you will benefit from it. But I do have to put my hand up and say that I've leaned heavily upon his book. But let's ask a couple of questions as we begin to look at this matter. Why do people go to church? Well, some may go out of habit, or perhaps tradition. It's what they've always done. It may be that some go to church in order to win God's favour, or to win God's acceptance. And I trust that we all realise that we're not going to win God's acceptance by this particular work. We are accepted by God when we put our faith or our trust in Jesus Christ and are freely justified. Some people may go to church because they feel they would look bad if they didn't. Others perhaps go to church because they enjoy it. They like the company that is to be found there. Some people may go to church because it's the only place within society that they actually feel accepted. I think that's true, isn't it? Sometimes the strangest of people seem to go to church because it's there amongst the people of God where they feel loved and accepted. Some people may go to church because years ago they signed a church covenant. They vowed, in other words, to go to church and not to skip church by watching television at home, and they know that they would sin, therefore, if they weren't to go to church. Some people go to church because they want to worship God and to learn more about God. Some people go to church because they are convinced that there are biblical reasons for doing so. I'm sure we could come up with other reasons tonight. But why don't some people go to church? Well, some people don't go to church because they'd rather be doing other things. They've got certain priorities which doesn't involve church. Some people don't go to church because they believe that they would be made to feel guilty if they did. Some people don't go to church because they're still waiting for an invite to church. Some people don't go because they don't want to go alone, and they're waiting for an opportunity to be taken along, perhaps by a friend. Others don't go to church because they find it boring. Some people don't go to church because the church is seemingly always asking for money. I'm so thankful that we as a local church are not always asking people for money. Some people don't go to church because there just isn't time in the midst of their busy lives. Some people don't go to church because they've had bad experiences in church. My mum was speaking to a lady who goes to her church only the other week, and the lady said, "Will you please pray for my husband?" This lady and her husband, you see, were on the mission field together, but they had a bad experience of one kind or another, and while she has kept going, he refuses to enter a place of worship again. "Please pray for my husband," was her plea. We want to be able to go to church together. Some people don't go to church because the sermons on the internet or on the radio are much better than the sermons that the local pastor is able to preach. And I will say a little bit more about that in just a while. And I'm sure there are many other reasons that could be given tonight. So why go to church? I want to give you 11 reasons why we who are professing Christians should go to church. And hopefully these 11 reasons will appear on the screen as we proceed. And Peter, you're sitting at the back there. I wonder whether you would mind just bringing them up at the appropriate point. That would be really helpful. So the first reason why we should go to church is because going to church is something that the Bible tells us that we ought to do. It's a biblical requirement. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 reads like this: "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Going to church is a biblical requirement. And I think what's particularly interesting about this verse is that the writer of Hebrews knew that if those people that he was writing to that had a tendency to skip church were actually to come back and fellowship with God's people once again, they were going to be persecuted. They would risk losing their homes. They would risk being put into prison, and yet he believed that the benefits far outweighed the potential losses. Yes, if you meet with God's people, you will be persecuted, you might lose your homes, you might be put into prison, but it's a better thing for you to meet with the people of God. Secondly, we should go to church because going to church helps prevent backsliding and apostasy. The writer of Hebrews knew that those who were not turning up to church were in danger of spiritual ruin. That's why he wrote what he did. You see, these Christians at the time were living in an environment that was extremely hostile to Christianity. They could not go it alone. They needed the fellowship and the support and the encouragement of fellow believers. You know, neglecting going to church is always one of the first signs of backsliding. And more seriously, is one of the first steps taken by those who commit apostasy. And we know from our reading of Scripture that there is no return from the sin of apostasy. I think sometimes Christians get a bit fed up with pastors who are always going on about, you know, the need to be in church on a Sunday or at other times during the week. But, you know, it is actually a serious matter. It's because pastors are concerned for the souls of those entrusted to their care that they do talk about the importance of meeting regularly with God's people. No pastor wants to see anybody commit the sin of apostasy. It's a very serious matter indeed. So we cannot treat this subject tonight lightly. It's a very important Christian discipline. Why must we go to church? Well, thirdly, because going to church brings spiritual refreshment and encouragement. Now let me read Hebrews 10:25 to you again. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I think we've all heard this illustration before, but let me put it to you again because it's such a good illustration, I think. But we all know what happens when the coal is taken out of the fire. It goes cold. Now, of course, it doesn't go cold straight away. For a time, it retains its heat. But slowly and progressively and inevitably, it goes cold. Because it needs to be found amongst the other coals that are there in the fire. It's the only way it can remain hot. Do you know, as Christians, we so desperately need the fellowship that is provided within the context of the local church. In particular, I think that we need to be rubbing shoulders with those in the local church who are mature and vibrant in their Christian faith. You know, when we read the book of Acts, Acts 2 in particular, we see that the early Christians were so alive and vibrant. And one of the reasons for this, I believe, is because they met so regularly for fellowship. And I would emphasize the word fellowship and say that that is something very different from socializing. You see, when we talk about fellowship, we're talking about sharing our Christian lives together. We're talking about worshipping together, praying together, sitting under the sound of God's word together. We're talking about serving in the cause of the gospel together, or partnering in the cause of the gospel together. Thirdly, going to church brings spiritual refreshment and encouragement. Fourthly, we should go to church because going to church expresses obedience to the greatest commandment. What did Jesus say was the greatest commandment? Well, the answer is found in Mark chapter 12. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so we ask the question, is God our greatest love and priority? Well, going to church is one of the ways in which we demonstrate this, particularly to unbelievers. In his book, Donald Whiteney says this: a quick, unreluctant willingness to turn your back on the worship of God in order to work, attend ball games, including children's ball games, entertain guests, participate in recreational sports, and so forth, may indicate to family, friends, and others that God is not really your first love. And he goes on to say this: or it may indicate that you are willing to let those who do not love God or care about his kingdom's activities determine your priorities, set your schedule, and keep you from the worship and work of God. I found those words quite challenging when I read them earlier this week, and I trust that those words will cause you to think carefully. But fourthly, going to church expresses obedience to the greatest commandment. But fifthly, and we're working through these headings slowly but surely, fifthly, we should go to church because going to church means following Jesus' example. Of course, we all recognize that we are to endeavor to be like Jesus. The Christian can be defined as one who follows Jesus. Well, Jesus made it his regular practice to engage in corporate worship. Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 says this: he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. You know, there are some people today who say that they're just too busy to go to church. But you know, I think Jesus was a fairly busy person. I think that Jesus was someone who had a lot on his plate. You know, the crowds were always pressing in on him, weren't they? It was difficult at times for Jesus to be alone and to spend time with his Father. He had a kingdom to build. He had towns and villages to minister to. He had sermons to preach. He had people to heal, demons to cast out. He had needs to meet. He had disciples to train. His heavenly schedule was an incredibly busy schedule, and yet the Lord Jesus made sure that he found time to meet with the people of God in order to worship. Going to church means following Jesus' example. But sixthly, we should go to church because going to church is a testimony of support for God's work in the world. You know, what's Jesus doing? Well, Jesus is doing lots of things. He's upholding the whole universe by his powerful word. But we can say tonight, can't we, that Jesus is building his church. He's gathering a people to himself. And as we go to church, we are giving a clear, visible demonstration of the fact that we are committed and supportive of his church. We are saying, in effect, that God's work matters. By our very presence here tonight, we are giving a visible demonstration to the people in Crockin Hill that we are committed to the church of Jesus Christ. Now, someone might say tonight, well, I don't think they care. Well, maybe they don't care, but I believe that they are taking notice. And so by going to church, we are giving a testimony, particularly to the world, that we are supportive of God's work in this world. Seventhly, we should go to church because going to church enables us to hear in person the preaching of God's word. I think it's clear as we look at the scriptures that God has clearly ordained the preaching of his word. And I'm committed to preaching the word of God, whether it is fashionable or not. Listen to what Paul wrote to young Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Timothy, preach the word. Preach it in season and out of season. In other words, preach it whether people want to hear it or not. Preach the word. You see, God has ordained that men and women should be justified and sanctified through the preached word. And it follows, therefore, that it is God's desire that people should hear the word being preached. Now, someone might say, I don't need to go to church and listen to the ministry that's given there because I can and do listen to sermons at home, on the radio, or on the television, or on the internet. And the preachers that I listen to on the radio and the internet and the television are some of the finest preachers in the world. Well, let me commend to you listening to some of the finest preachers in the world on the radio and on the television and on the internet. I spend time listening to some remarkable men preaching on the internet, and their ministries have proved a great blessing to me. But avoiding church and listening to sermons in this way simply won't do, and for a number of reasons. One, it's too easy to be selective and listen to what your itching ears want to hear. Two, it's so easy to turn it off if you don't like it. I suppose you could walk out of the church this evening if you don't like it, but it's a little bit more difficult to walk out of the church than it is to turn off the television or the radio. Joanne's mum and dad have got one of these little boxes underneath their television, and so when we go down to East Sussex, I normally take the opportunity to flick through all the Christian channels. And there's a lot of rubbish on there, but there's also some good ministry on there. But you know, it's terrible, really, because I can be 10 minutes into a good sermon and I'm flicking through the channels. And I find someone who I think is a better preacher than the one I was listening to, and so I start listening to this particular preacher, and, well, it's so easy to stop listening. Three, the people you are listening to are too distant or remote to be effective under shepherds for your souls, however brilliant they may be as preachers. Four, it fosters an individualistic and isolated approach to Christianity, which simply runs contrary to the teaching of the New Testament. We're meant to worship together, pray together, and listen to the word of God being proclaimed together. There's nothing wrong with listening to sermons on the radio or on the television or on the internet, but they need to be a supplement to our regular diet as we meet together with God's people within the context of the local church. Why should we go to church? Eighthly, because going to church enables us to take the Lord's Supper. You see, if a person wants to go it alone, how do they observe the Lord's Supper? Regularly, in obedience to the command of the Lord. You remember what Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Maybe someone would say, "Well, I observe the Lord's Supper at home." I wouldn't encourage that, generally speaking, because I believe that it's something that ought to be carried out under the discipline of the local church. And it does rob the Lord's Supper of some of its meaning. Yes, we are to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But as we meet together and participate in the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine, we recognize the body of the Lord. And we express our oneness in the body of Christ. It's something that we are to do together. It's an ordinance of the local church. So we should go to church because going to church enables us to take the Lord's Supper. Ninthly, we should go to church because going to church enables us to experience special blessings from God. When we're in the context of our homes and we're reading our Bibles and we're praying to God, we undoubtedly experience blessing from God. But there are blessings that we can only receive as we meet together with the Lord's people. Now, I don't want to spend long dwelling on this because we've touched upon it in recent days as we've met together on a Sunday evening. But God gives gifts to all those within his church. And God gives different people different gifts in order that in different ways they might minister to one another. God gives gifts for the building up of his church. And if we isolate ourselves from the various gifts and ministries, we will suffer as a result. God gives such ministries to those within the local church that we might benefit from those ministries. Going to church then enables us to experience special blessings from God. Why should we go to church? Well, tenthly, because going to church helps to prevent us from living an unbalanced life. Let me read Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 14 too. It was he, that is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. God has given gifts to his church, gifts of teaching, gifts of understanding, gifts of insight and discernment. And if we choose to go solo, we cast aside those who are able to keep us from doctrinal error or becoming unbalanced in our priorities. You know, some time ago, I picked up that someone had gone astray in their thinking. They believed something that ran contrary to the Word of God. I nearly fell off my chair because I was surprised to hear this. But I was also saddened. And the reason I was saddened was because this particular person had been skipping church. And the very week before, I had addressed the very matter that they had erred over. Going to church and receiving ministry keeps us in check and prevents us living an unbalanced life. If we don't go to church, it's so easy for us to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. It's so easy for us to live lives that are imbalanced. But coming along to church, regularly hearing the ministry of the word, rubbing shoulders with other Christians who can challenge us and correct us and encourage us along the path can make all the difference. But 11thly and lastly, we should go to church because going to church is one indication of having eternal life. I think we would all recognise and acknowledge that church attendance is not proof of being a Christian. There are always going to be people who turn up to church that are not Christians. As I've already said this evening, one does not become a Christian by attending church. A person becomes a Christian when they're born again of the Holy Spirit and exercise repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian. Whilst the Apostle Paul was in prison, I don't think that he made it to church on a Sunday. Whilst the Apostle John found himself on the island of Patmos, I don't think he made it to church on a Sunday. So going to church is not proof of being a Christian, but it is a favourable indication of being a Christian. John, in his first epistle, says that we have passed from death to life if we love our brothers and sisters. This is what he writes. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And you know, if we're going to love our brothers and sisters, it surely means that we've got to rub shoulders with them. It means that we've got to spend time with them. It means that we've got to provide ourselves with opportunities to express our love to them. So 11thly and lastly this evening, we should go to church because going to church is one indication of having eternal life. I want to round things up now, but as I conclude, I want to say that I think the devil is so, so clever. It's amazing how he seems to be able to get professing Christians to think. He can even get professing Christians to think that they don't need to go to church. It seems so ridiculous, but he seems to be able to do it. But Christians do need to go to church. We all need to go to church. We would all recognise, I'm sure, that no church is perfect. In fact, most churches have all sorts of imperfections. Every local church is made up of forgiven sinners. But just as God has ordained that children should grow up within the context of a family, so God has ordained that his children might grow up and become mature within the context of a church family. I wonder sometimes whether church for you feels like a duty. Maybe it does feel like a duty at times. It does for me at times. But I trust that more often than not, it is our delight to go to church, just as it was a delight for the psalmist to make his way to the temple of the Lord. I said I would conclude tonight with verse 1 of Psalm 122. Listen to what it says. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Well, this is the first of our series on Christian disciplines. Tonight we've looked at the importance of going to church, and I believe that it is important that professing Christians do indeed go to church. And there are lots of reasons why Christians should go to church. But I trust that when we come to church, it's not just a duty, but a delight, because we love the Lord, because we want to worship Him, because we want to grow and mature as Christians and be the people that He wants us to be. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the local church. Lord Jesus, we believe that You are committed to the local church. You died for the church. You are committed to the local church, and therefore we want to be committed to it as well. We thank You for the fellowship and the blessings that we can enjoy as we meet together as a local church fellowship. Lord, we thank You that we don't have to live the Christian life on our own. We know that there are some Christians in unusual circumstances that do have to live the Christian life on their own, because there simply aren't any other Christians living around them. How difficult it must be for them, and we commit them, each one, to You tonight. We thank You for the blessing of Christian fellowship. We thank You for these opportunities whereby we can come together and learn of You, and be exhorted to live lives that are pleasing in Your sight. Well, we know that in these days there is a tendency to fail to see the importance of meeting together. And we pray that, Lord, that situation might be turned around. Lord, we pray that as a local church we may be a light on a hill for You in this neighbourhood. Lord, we pray that unbelieving people living in this village might see that we are serious about the things of God, committed to the things of God, committed to the work of God. Lord, we commit this series to You, and we pray that we may be challenged and helped and encouraged as we think about these various Christian disciplines together. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.